are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On NBA, your daily source for all things NBA from the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for joining us and making us your first listen each and every day. We're free, and we're available on all platforms, like YouTube. You can go check out the show and catch live versions of the show, see everybody's shining faces. Catch me here on Tuesdays. You get John Corrales and Jake Madison on Wednesdays. My guy Adam Mara is over at Locked On Nuggets on Fridays. All sorts of good stuff throughout the week here on Locked On NBA. Join me tonight, Tony East, T East NBA on Twitter. Fresh off the end of another thrilling Indiana Fever season. Tony, I got one question for you before we get started with the news. I have to ask you, who's winning the WNBA title?
The Aces. I'm taking the Aces for sure. Everybody talks about their lack of depth, but the depth doesn't matter as much in the playoffs. Last time I checked, they still had the best player in the league and three of the top 10 players in the league. I'm taking the Aces.
Yeah, I have good bets in on the Aces. I have good bets in on the Sky to a lesser degree. And then I have a little bit of Storm just because Stewie scares the absolute crap out of me.
As you
follow
should.
Tony for more WNBA coverage. All right, Tony, on today's show, we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, but we're going to get started with So last week, after, it's just like every Monday I get new Kevin Durant stuff to talk about on the show. It's amazing. Last Monday, Kevin Durant, the Sean Strong of The Athletic reports that Kevin Durant's met with Nets ownership and once again reiterated his desire to be traded unless Sean Marks and Steve Nash were fired. We covered all of that throughout the week last week. Then today, Monday morning, Mark Stein over at his very good Substack that you should subscribe to, in the newsletter, writes about KD some more. He spoke with another GM, and this GM says it would not shock him that he would be less surprised if Durant were to retire than play another game with the Brooklyn Nets. So that, of course, like sparks like a, could KD just retire? Could he just walk away? And ultimately, Tony, I was confused that everybody read it one way instead of the other. And we'll talk about the sources game here in a sec. But everyone kind of read it as like, could Kevin Durant retire from basketball? And I read it as a Kevin Durant has indicated to people around the league that he is so mad at the Brooklyn Nets that every option on the table except playing with them again is on the table, including retirement if it was at all possible. Durant did take to Twitter, surprise, surprise, took to Twitter to clear things up later in the day, tweeting, I know most people will believe unnamed sources over me, but if it's anyone out there that'll listen, I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. Is comical at this point. Your reaction, Tony East.
Shout out to Kevin Durant for setting the public record straight. As always, I love when a dude takes to Twitter to set the record straight. I also, Matt, 100% agree with your thesis about the key takeaway from what Mark Stein happened to say. I think it's only like the fourth or fifth paragraph. It's right in front of me now. Mark Stein writes, if Durant hasn't been traded by then, there is growing expectation in league circles that he will continue trying to cause as much of a ruckus behind the scenes to try to prod the Nets into lowering their asking price to facilitate a deal. As you just said, he doesn't want to play for the Nets. He's playing those cards now of how can I be on a different team? How can this be facilitated so that the Nets trade me to wherever the team can meet their asking price, which will be lower if I don't show up to camp, if I don't show up to media day, if the stories when those things start are not about the Nets or not about their team moving forward. And Steve Nash is going to have to answer a bunch of questions about if he's still the coach, not being fired with Kevin Durant not around. You know, those sort of distractions will mount up and spur action. Deadlines always spur action, the deadline being Kevin Durant being this massive distraction if he doesn't show up for camp. And I think that is the backdrop of this story, is these are the steps KD would have to take to really force the Nets' hand beyond just saying, I would like to be traded. Those are finally being discussed amongst league execs, it sounds like.
Now, usually if I read this from, I would say, 99.5%, 95%, let's say. Not that many of them. 95% of all NBA-related media people that report on things that are sourced. My indication, my inclination, my suspicion would always be, oh, so you got this from a GM, huh? So theoretically a GM that's trying to trade for Durant that would oh, I don't know, hypothetically really benefit from the idea that Durant won't return to the Nets, and amping up the pressure on that situation would actually benefit his team. However, in this case, because it's the Hall of Famer, want to be clear on that, Hall of Famer Mark Stein, I tend to trust Stein to be able to weed out that kind of stuff. Like, if Stein's sharing this, he thinks it's legit. And again, you're right that the real indication here is that the situation with the Nets is irreparable, because this has been like the key question from everybody with the Kevin Durant situation is like, okay, you want out. How much do you want out? Because everyone knows how much Kevin Durant loves basketball, and he does. Like, that's genuine. That's not made up nonsense. Like, that's genuine. That dude loves basketball. If you love basketball that much and you want to play and you care about your career, are you really willing to go the Ben Simmons route and sit out? Are you willing to get fined, lose money to not play the game that you ultimately want to play? Like, that's the question that's kind of in front of him. And I think there's still kind of a sentiment that Durant will show up for training camp, that he'll be there for what will be one of the most hilarious media days, if it comes to that, and that they'll go through the motions, but that there will be this undercurrent. This is not uncommon. We saw Carmelo Anthony back in 2000. This has been a while now, but Carmelo Anthony back in 2010 was facing this exact same situation. He had declined, like, the talks had broken down over an extension. It was clear that Melo wanted out. Melo recently said that it was because the Nuggets were talking about rebuilding. Let's just say there's some conflicting information on that. But ultimately, like, they got through the season and the Nuggets were fine. But it was just clear everyone was miserable and they needed to move on. They ultimately pulled the trigger and everything went from there. I kind of see the same thing here. It's just really hard to deal with an entire season of this. Like, your coach has to answer questions every day about it. After he had to answer questions every day about Kyrie Irving last year, your other stars have to answer questions about it. Like, your poor role players that get put in front of the media have to answer questions about it. The management, like, it's just, it creates a circus. It makes everybody miserable. This is why, Tony, I'll tell you, I maintain, based off of this, that I still believe that Durant's not retiring, but I also don't think he's going to be a Brooklyn Net when the season opens on October 18th.
Yeah, no way he's retiring. I think his tweet says that, and no short terms. And why would he? He's only 34. He's still very good. 4 years left on his deal. Like, why would he? But I get why he's using this card and the please fire the coach and GM card and the I'm not going to show up card to force their hand if he really does want to trade. And, you know, you talk about the Nuggets path. What this makes me think of a little bit is the James Harden exit from Houston, where they – you know, we're sniffing around the trades before the season started. They bring John Wall in for Russ, and James Harden shows up, and he's a little out of shape, and he's not as good. And then about 12 games in, he whatever the infamous quote he said, this situation isn't, and this isn't going to work. This is right. Put everybody on blast and ended his media session and got traded pretty early on in that season. You know, that feels like the longest this could go to me at this point, where Kevin Durant could just force his hand so publicly after a brutal Nets loss, something like that. Makes sense to me is like the longest this could go, because I don't think Kevin Durant's going to retire. You know, it's been long discussed by several insiders this offseason that he loves playing. He still wants to play. Maybe he does show up to camp if it comes to that. I don't know. But he's not going to retire. I don't think that's the case. I think that is just part of the posturing required to get him to say, hey, let's go. Let's get this trade done.
So we'll wait to see where it is that Kevin Durant is playing when October 18th rolls around. But we do know a little bit more about who will be playing on October 18th, as well as on Christmas. Some more of the various details on the schedule have leaked, and we'll break all that down when we come back on Locked On NBA. But first, I have got to tell you about Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Are you ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built's done it again with the cookie dough chunk puffs. They've got a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, but not gigantic ones that are kind of unseemly or tough to chew through. They're small enough to just get the flavor. It's perfect. And of course, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. They've only got 160 calories and a whopping 15 grams of protein. And not just any protein, They've got collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. My daughter absolutely went ripped through a box of these things. Like, she just tore through them. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built's a perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On NBA. Back here on Locked On NBA, thanks for joining us, making this your first listen each and every day. My guy Tony East is here with me, Matt Moore. You can catch me over at Locked On Nuggets throughout the week, as well as I host a betting podcast called Buckets. You can catch Tony over at Locked On Pacers and follow his work on Twitter at TEastNBA. You can catch the show on YouTube if you want to catch that as well. It's there on our handy little graphic there. Tony, Sean Sharani has been very busy over at The Athletic, breaking down, releasing little tidbits about the schedule more and more. So we already had the Christmas Day schedule. That one came out over the weekend. Bucks, Celtics, 76ers, Nuggets, 76ers, Knicks, Suns and Nuggets, Lakers, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Warriors. He did, however, note today that the Phoenix Suns will host the Dallas Mavericks in the season opener for both of those teams on October 19th. That's going to be the Wednesday night ESPN late night main event. That'll be the marquee game that night on Wednesday as the Suns take on the Mavericks in typical Shams manner. After blowout Game 7 loss in West semifinals, the Phoenix Suns will host the Dallas Mavericks in the season opener for both teams on October 19th, per sources. Luka Doncic, backcourt starter Spencer Dinwiddie versus Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I think it's an interesting opening Wednesday matchup for both teams, right? Puts them kind of center spotlight. You got Luka in a primetime matchup versus another West competitor. Obviously, that series got a little testy last year as it went along, and the Suns are obviously going to feel like they got robbed because they reportedly had COVID, and that's why everything fell apart. Still waiting to hear more about that situation. There are, I will say, some games early in the season that I think sets the tone for the year. You can dig out of it. Teams are usually three or four different teams throughout the course of 82 games. But this one, I do kind of think it's not important on it determines whether or not you're going to have a good season or not. But I think this is a game that both teams are going to want. And I think it's a game that both teams should really try and get for a number of reasons. What do you think?
Yeah, the Suns in particular. Well, but you're right. Both of these teams would like this for a million reasons. The Suns in particular, even without Jalen Brunson, the way they lost, the way their season ended was embarrassing. Like, quite frankly, it was embarrassing for them, for everyone. And to even if it's a game one regular season game, to come in at home in front of your fans and say, we're taking this seriously. We're kicking the crap out of these teams that knocked us out last year. We're better. We're back. You know, especially if you're wrapped up. You know, if they don't have Kevin Durant for that game, if they're tied up in that and they don't have him to show that they're still good, they can beat the teams that knocked them out last year. Like, I think that will have meaning for them. And I think it's cool that this game is being broadcast in this way, that it is a marquee matchup given how, you know, the season ended for the Suns at the hands of the Mavs. And for the Mavs, and for Luka especially, the storyline's obvious. Like, how good can they be? They probably lost the best player, right, who switched teams this summer in Brunson via free agency. I suppose trades could gunk that up, right? Like, can they be awesome still? Can they be a conference finals team? Can Luka be an MVP candidate and lead this team to whatever heights they can achieve without Jalen Brunson? Now, how good can they be? Can they, if they can beat the team that they beat in the playoffs to make the conference finals, that would also be very telling and a signal setter for that franchise. So for both of these teams to start the season in a game that reflects their most important game of last season, I think is a good tone setter for both teams and will be very fascinating to kind of set the tone for their seasons.
Yeah, I'm expecting Luka Doncic to be gunning for MVP this season. I think we're going to see a very Harden-esque season from him in terms of usage, in terms of how he carries the team, etc. All of that, I think, is very pretty obvious that's with Brunson gone, I think we're going to see way more of Luka Doncic, even more so than ever. I wouldn't be surprised if he challenges historic usage marks for how much he's going to be going. So it'll be interesting to see what the Suns look like. Also, you know, the Suns last year, so they had such a great run in 2021, made the finals, lose, come back the next season, and I kind of expected some regression. There was a lot of reasons to think that they would regress, and instead they were better by like such a wide margin. They were the best team in the NBA for months and months and months and months and months. And they just kind of started to dip at the end, and now there is kind of this feeling, and this is not just like me posturing. This is things that people around the league have said, which is, you know, Chris is still really good and amazing, but he's also getting up there in age. Is that ever going to start affecting him? The pressure's really on them now, because now they were the hunter, and then they became the hunted, and they handled that, but then they got caught. Sometimes you reach that point and the team just kind of like reaches their apex and they never get back there. How are they going to respond to this? Like, everyone's really curious what the Suns are going to look like. So that's going to be, I think, a great matchup on that opening Wednesday. We do know now both of the games for opening night on the 18th on Tuesday. Lakers and Warriors was already reported. And the 76ers will play the Boston Celtics. So the reigning Eastern Conference champions, the Boston Celtics, take on James Harden, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. You know, it's what's interesting here is Kevin Durant could be playing in one of these games, either this one or in the Suns game. Who knows? And the schedule makers, I wonder how much they're trying to build in the possibility from various national TV appearances for the Kevin Durant trade. You know, do you try and give the Heat some run too? But in this one, let's assume that Durant doesn't go to Philly. You know, classic matchup, Sixers Celtics. You get Embiid, you know, MVP runner up last season, the finals runner up this season. It's the runner up bowl. I just kind of realized in that regard. Should be a really good matchup. What do you think about the choice of the Sixers playing on opening night versus the Celtics?
Yeah, are we going to get Heat Raptors on Wednesday for sure, right? That way they get like, all right, we got Durant in a time slot that we like. Yeah, I like the opening night matchups. You know, I think that the NBA should, and I am glad they did this. If you played the finals last year, great. You're on the opening night slate. And then just get whatever appealing matchup makes sense for that. And for the Warriors, you can go with the number of teams. But, hey, why not have it be LeBron and the Lakers and whatever the heck they're going to be with Darvin Ham now. And – you know, who knows what Westbrook status will be on that team, but there's obviously a lot of intrigue around them. And then the Sixers, still in the midst of a tampering investigation we've heard nothing about until it was announced, by the way. Maybe not because, you know, they haven't made the conference finals in a while, but they might have the most pressure of any team in the league this year, given how their offseason went, given the age of James Harden and just where they're headed. It's a big, important season for them to have them be the team going against Boston on opening night in Boston. I think is also interesting, a team that acquired Malcolm Brogdon. So I think they nailed these matchups, quite frankly. Like, I think it would have been probably Nets Celtics if KD hadn't requested a trade, but the NBA realizes what needs to happen here and who the team should be.
Well, I will say, you know, you mentioned like, will he play the Raptors on Wednesday? I'll bet you they won't, actually. I would tell you that my bet for Wednesday night for the opening, so the Suns Mavericks game will be the late game. My best bet for the early game is going to be Oklahoma City Thunder at Orlando Magic. They usually put the number one pick on that Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
And so you get Chet versus Paolo. That's a pretty good that's a pretty good matchup. It's got some actual star power. And then they'll never be heard from on national TV again. The Magic and Thunder will play on Wednesday in like the 7 o'clock game and then just disappear from the NBA landscape on national television for the remainder of the season. So look, it's going to be interesting. One name, I think, I want to talk to you about this. Sixers, Celtics, Lakers, Warriors. The Wednesday night game, the marquee is going to be Suns, Mavericks. I just said that I think it's probably going to be featuring the Orlando Magic, at least, if not Chet Holmgren as well. Thursday, the late game is Lakers Clippers. We haven't mentioned the Bucks at all. Bucks are not mentioned here. No discussion of your Milwaukee Bucks, who a lot of people think probably beat the Celtics if Chris Middleton's healthy. Champions 2 seasons ago. MVP runner-up, or third runner-up this year. Two-time MVP Giannis. What does it kind of say that Now, maybe Giannis plays Thursday, right? Maybe that's like the early game on Thursday is Milwaukee versus whoever. But it seems kind of weird that we're seeing these teams go on these marquee slates, especially, you know, when you look at the fact that the Bucks do play on Christmas, so that's meaningful. They play the Celtics. However, it kind of seems like the Bucks are being little pushed to the side. They're not being necessarily mentioned in a lot of the marquee spots. Does that make sense to you, or do you think that's something, or is that nothing? Hit me with nothing. Nope. Don't go halfway. If you think it's nothing, hit me with a nothing.
I think it's nothing. They got okay. The Christmas game. They're still pretty marketable. Giannis is still on that team. I think you're right. I think they probably get – maybe it is Miami. Maybe they get the Thursday game with the Heat or – who's the other conference semifinalist? I can't believe my – oh, no, that is it. Yeah, maybe they get Thursday with the Heat. Maybe they get Thursday with Chicago, a division game. You know, something like that. I think that makes a lot – hey, we're about to talk about Giannis in Chicago anyway, so might as well nail that segue, right? But, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense for them. Like, he's still very marketable as – you know, one of the best two international players in the league and one of those small market stories that is gravitated towards it. Yeah, I think that they'll get one of the first three nights, one of the primetime slots. But as it's not out yet, maybe I'm wrong. I'm leaning towards nothing here, especially because they have a Christmas game. But I get that they should probably have a little more focus than they do in this setting.
And mostly, I just think it's a sign of how much talent we have that, like, the Clippers are the Thursday night other Lakers team when they're a team that could very well, end, you know, win the finals. There's been the Nuggets are playing on Christmas, but there hasn't been really any discussion of them that opening week. Like, there's so much freaking talent. There's just so many teams you got to get on the schedule now, and that's a really good thing, I think, for the league.
Have we even said the Grizzlies this whole time? I mean,
no,
they're playing on Christmas, but I mean they were the 2 seed in the West last year and looked to be about as good this year, and who knows where they'll even be in the primetime schedule. And I get that geographically they're the hardest team to include in that setting, but you know, I'll be interested to see where they shake out in that scale.
By the way, you've only got one more day to figure out to wait to find out when how all this shakes out. As Mark Stein did report that the NBA schedule will be released on Wednesday, and of course, Locked On NBA will have you covered with the Thursday show breaking it all down for you. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. And like Tony mentioned, we're going to talk about some comments that Giannis made about playing for the Bulls. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On NBA. Back here on Locked On NBA, thanks for joining us, making us your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. If you like Tony's work, which you should because he's awesome, go check out Locked On Pacers. Go follow him on Twitter at TEastNBA. It's awesome stuff. Go check him out. Okay, so Tony clued me into the story, which I completely missed today. Giannis was on the Sports Zone on Fox 32 Chicago, and when asked about someday playing for the club, quote, "I think anybody you ask that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar," Antetokounmpo said about playing for the Bulls. "It's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player who ever played this game, played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Down the line, you never know. You never know how life brings it. Maybe I play for Chicago," Antetokounmpo says. "But right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee," end quote. So, little interesting. First time that he's really kind of rejected, that he hasn't outright rejected the idea of going somewhere else. I tend to think this is mostly just him playing coy. He seems very settled with the idea of retiring a Buck, of being, you know, having the statue outside the arena and doing the whole thing. But it's nearby, right? It's close in terms of if he likes the area. Obviously, he plays in Chicago quite a bit. Major city would be, it's Jordan is iconic throughout the world. So that Bulls jersey is always going to be iconic. What do you make of Giannis's comments about playing for Chicago?
Can I answer your question by taking you back in time, Matt Moore?
Take me back.
Let me take you back specifically to November 4th, 2019, when none other than Chicago native Anthony Davis is in Chicago and is asked about playing for his hometown Chicago Bulls in the future. And he says, "Well, I mean, I am a free agent next year, but we will see." Is Anthony Davis a Chicago Bull? No, he is not. He is a Los Angeles Laker. He has since signed another contract with the team. All this to say, the Bulls have the allure. And that always means they could get these guys, right? They're good now. They're becoming a brand again, like you said. MJ has global impact legend. Chicago is in a big city. Like, they can get guys. And they could get Giannis very well. And also, him saying that doesn't mean – him saying it specifically doesn't mean anything to me any more than just what I just said. Like, right. If you told me he thought maybe he'd want to play for Chicago someday without him having these public comments, I would have believed you. So this doesn't sway me any more to just say that I think it's something he will consider when his current contract is up, if he doesn't extend with Milwaukee before then. And, you know, with a looming CBA change coming up, I don't think any good player's extending in the next couple seasons. So, you know, if he hits free agency, maybe that is something he considers, right? If he loves the allure of that franchise, like you said, he plays there all the time. He's now publicly stated, hey, the Bulls are awesome. But this, him saying it, doesn't make me think he means it any more than I thought before he said it, if that makes any sense.
You know, every Bulls fan I know says the same thing, which is that as long as Reinsdorf is the owner, there's skepticism about them being able to seriously compete from a financial perspective, from an investment standpoint. They need an owner like a Steve Ballmer. If you get an owner like Steve Ballmer with the Bulls brand and that city,
yeah, wow.
I mean, they will become Lakers East again. Like, they'll be the team on the map. But until that happens, I think you have to have some skepticism. Like, that team has always kind of operated with an eye towards the bottom line for various reasons. And until that's proven to be the end of it, I think you can kind of go easy on the idea of the biggest and brightest stars coming to Chicago. Hopefully, I, for one, hope that Giannis retires a Buck, because it's an awesome story. All right, let's go wrap it up for Locked On NBA. Thanks for joining us again. Check out Tony's work at TEastNBA. You can follow me on Twitter at HPBasketball. Thanks for joining us. Back tomorrow with John Corrales, Jake Madison, breaking down whatever news comes out next, probably about Kevin Durant and the schedule. Back tomorrow with more of that. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you guys again next time on Locked On NBA.